Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm producer Dave.
And this week we're joined by a special guest, my mate Scotty Jinx. How are we doing, Scott? And welcome to the pod.
I'm all right, lads. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
It's not your first time on here, is it?
No, well, it is on the podcast, but not my first time at WAB. I'm a WAB, what do you call it? Pensioner? No, I've been around the block a bit with WAB.
Probably. Yeah, I was going to say that an introduction to you. I think when we first started the website up, you wrote for us. Was it Row 28 that you used to?
Yeah. So I did some blogging for you, and then we did the YouTube stuff as well. So we did pre-match and post-match reactions down at Hennessy's. And yeah, dude, I've done all sorts. I've helped you with little bits here and there throughout. So not
you
totally
have,
new.
You have. It's much appreciated. And played for WAB, of course.
Yes. Top striker.
For the supporters team.
Played. So,
centre half.
So am I likely to have photographed you then?
You have,
because we used the picture of him. The picture that we did when we went to WorldNet in Nottingham, and Scotty Jinx was just sat on the bridge.
On the Trent Bridge. Yeah. I made it.
Quite funny.
Well, it's good to hear you're already firmly indoctrinated into WAB. So,
and I'm sure you've been on 15 Second Opinions before.
I think so, yeah. There's been so many.
I'm sure you have. Anyway, how are we doing, fellas? Scotty, what are you up to? We'll ask you first. What are you up to?
Well, like I say, it's top secret. It's top secret. I'm not actually allowed to say what I've been doing on a day-to-day basis, but I can tell you what I'm doing, if that makes sense. So I was called. I was very, very lucky, or unlucky, depending on your opinion, to be called for jury duty. So this week I have been at the Crown Courts, and that's about it. All I can say. That's it. Seriously,
So have you been actually picked? Have you made it through the selection?
So yes, and yes and no.
Are you around the judges' houses?
Almost. I'm waiting. Sharon Osborne is around the corner for me. No, so basically they called us in. Am I allowed to say this? I don't know. I did get called for something, but then it got put on hold. And then I don't really know what's happening. They've not been called back in yet today. And they've got another email at the end of every day to let you know if you need it tomorrow. So I don't know if the case settled, the one I was meant to do, but I was meant to do it, and then it all got cancelled. So I don't really know. I'm still on jury duty, but the case, I don't know what case I was actually assigned to. And that's, I think, the most, without the FBI that's storming through the door.
What about you, Vegan?
What have I done? I went to go see the Happy Mondays.
Oh, yeah, you sent us some pictures through.
Yeah.
The other day.
It was okay.
Were they lively?
No. Good fun. It was full of absolutely leery kind of fans.
As you'd fully expect.
As you'd hope for a Happy Mondays gig. And that was good. I mean, you know, got massive bangers, haven't they?
Well, that they have.
They have.
What you want about Bez with his maracas? They's bangers.
He was there with his maracas moving around all gig.
Did he have Sean Ryder was written on them?
I wasn't looking at Bez's maracas that closely.
Have you not? Have I looked at them more in depth than you have? Because you sent the picture through. I'm sure
I sent
that
you the
on his maracas, it says Northampton across the front of them. So he must have different maracas for different venues.
It's nice
did
to
he
know
throw them out
that
at
someone...
did you see them in Northampton?
I did, yeah.
There you go.
It's nice to know, Chris, that you're paying more attention to my photos than I am.
So. My brain just goes there sometimes.
Yeah. Anyway, with you, how's the training going? You're week three?
Yeah. No, week four this week, I think. Yeah, I finished off week three last week with a park run in Shrewsbury because we were over in Shrewsbury at the Mrs.'s family's house for Easter. Happy Easter, by the way. Did park run over there and actually smashed the run intervals that I was trying to do, so I was really happy, really enjoyed it.
I thought you were going to say the park run record then, sorry.
No, absolutely no chance of that. maybe for the over 70s or something, but I think there's still some of them that fly around, to be honest. But it's going well, other than the fact that this week got off to a slow start because after being on the beer all day on Monday at the Blues, didn't eat anything, had a curry at 10 o'clock on the night, And yesterday was very interesting.
It wasn't Paula Radcliffe scenarios, was it?
It was close. By the end of it, it was very close.
Which end did she come out of? Didn't it come out of her at two different ends? I thought so, yeah.
didn't she just squat on the side of the road and have a shit or something?
That's what you're going to do.
It was very close. I just made it home, recorded my little video, and then got upstairs just in time. It was interesting, let's say, but feeling much better today, so hopefully no problems tomorrow when the next run. Anyway, shall we get on to the Blues?
Sounds like a plan.
Yes, let's.
QPR away on Good Friday. A big game. A lot of people thought a must-win game. Felt like it at the time. And I'm not going to lie, after the performance, I think I put it out on Twitter, I thought we were down. I thought that was it for us. I thought that... Sorry.
Totally agree. It's the first time, you know me, I'm pretty positive about the Blues. Nearly all the way up to the bitter end. And I was just sat there thinking, deflected goal and a screamer from a centre-half that hasn't scored all year. I'm thinking, this is the kind of stuff that happens to relegated teams.
Off target as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't just deflected, it was off target.
You can sort of look back, can't you, visit those little moments, but when you looks out in it, and it just was one of the, I just couldn't believe what I was watching, because I don't think we played bad. I think a lot of people have said this. You know, when you get past all the hyperbole of people losing their minds and the angst, but I didn't think we played that bad, and I was surprised, actually, at the style that Rowett has gone for. I expected it to be a lot more aerial, and it wasn't. Same with Preston, just gone, but we can get onto that, but... Yeah, it was just one of those games. I was thinking, this is it. We've circled the drain for too long, and ultimate Sod's laws come to get us when we finally got this off. I'm repeating what everyone's already said. Finally get the off field moving in the right direction, and then the pitch goes like your run.
That would be just typical Blues, though, wouldn't it? I mean,
classic.
I know that we've spoken about it before. It would be typical Blues to have all the nice, shiny, new things in place and then go down. And it's like, that's how it feels or how it felt. I think now, this week, after Monday, I think there's a bit of renewed hope.
this problem of conceding goals this late on, it's dogged us for all season. Because I had a quick look at some stats afterwards and we've basically dropped 10 points through goals conceded in the last 5 minutes.
I think I read, was it 11 goals we've conceded?
Over the course of the season.
In the 90-plus minutes?
And yeah, some of it is when we're already kind of, when the game is already well away from us. But in terms of goals which cost, you know, either 3 points or 2 points, and, you know, you just, I think we've talked about it in the past, Chris, you know, defensive issues. You really realise what 10 points this time of year would make. That's where it's cost us.
So for me, the QPR game, I thought that we just, as soon as we'd scored, I don't think we really asked any more questions at that point. Second half, I think up till we scored, we were doing okay. But then as soon as we'd scored, we just sort of went into our shell a little bit. And I know Tony Mowbray mentioned it a few months back, that he said they're not used to winning, they're not used to being in this position, that they go in their shell a little bit. Now, obviously, on a bad run, have they clammed up slightly and just completely taken the foot off the gas, put it on the brake, and just said, right, can we get anything from it? Because I can't really remember a meaningful attack. And then we had the free kick, and then they broke from it and scored really quickly. For me, that second half, it's hard to explain, but I just don't think that we really offered anything going forward, gave them anything to worry about. And from their equaliser, I think there was only one team that was gonna win it at that point.
Well, I think he hadn't scored in four. Was it 4 years or something? Steve Cook's not scored for. And you know, it always happens to that. It's typical Blues, isn't it? We say typical Blues so often, but how many times do you hear about a player who's never scored in their entire career and then they score two? Steve Bidwell, was it, scored the first two goals of his career against us in the same game? after 10 years. And it just happens to us constantly.
There's lots of it. And I mean, there's an argument that maybe Jimmy Dunne, who got the winner, shouldn't have even been on the pitch at that point, because the amount of things that he got away with, pushes, elbows. Cause I think it was him that elbowed Dre, wasn't it?
Was it? You testing my memory here. But I did read, I read a couple of people say that.
I'm sure that he gave him a bloody lip and it did look like an elbow.
Oh yes, it was in the first half hour, wasn't it? Yeah, the big one, and he was off the pitch. It was a bit of a meaty hit. Yeah, you're right.
And I thought it was second half, but either way, it was he definitely clobbered him. And to me, it's one of them that you get at least a yellow card for. I mean, he didn't even give a free kick for it though. But yeah, we didn't offer enough, in my opinion. But then let's fast forward to Monday, not dwell on Good Friday. Quick turnaround. Better performance?
I think so, massively. And I think he addressed... massively. Yeah. I think he addressed the issues in the game where, I think, you know, having... The three at the back just didn't work. It just didn't work. And I think Buchanan's biggest... thing is that he's probably one of our best defenders, if not the best defender, you could argue. So that's probably why he's been put in that left centre-back role. But naturally at left-back, what you lose going forward with the likes of Laird or Drame, actually you gain so much more as a solid platform. And I thought the back four with Bielik, his job a little bit more simplified in the middle. I think they were just better. They knew their roles. And it just provided the platform. I think Gary Rowett said it himself, you know, a clean sheet provides the platform for you to go on to win, doesn't it? And I think, aside from Awu's moments...
That's a very Gary Rowett mentality, isn't it?
But what I was going to say, I was saving this for a little bit later, that I didn't think we played like a Gary Rowett team. I thought the effort was there, the mentality was there, which is, I suppose you could argue, was Gary Rowett. But actually, there was loads of really tidy touches and passages of play, and Paik and Miyoshi and Bielik all really created these nice little triangles at times to allow the ball to be spread out wide. And I thought, you know, I was expecting the worst from Rowett coming. I thought, this is going to be awful to watch, but we might nick a 1-0. And we did nick a 1-0, ironically, but actually I thought the football was quite good at times.
I thought we were okay for a point, up to a point. I thought we played, like you say, we played some nice stuff, but that's not really a surprise with better players. Of course, better players are going to play better football together. They're going to naturally find space, look for the ball, want the ball. I think the issues still are in that final third. And this might be a little bit controversial now, because everyone's been very positive about the game. Me, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer on it, because I don't care. As long as we get the results for the rest of the season that keep us up, I don't give a shit. But for me, that game, the performance, there was very little difference from a few of the games that we've had in recent weeks with Mark Venus in charge. Other than
rubber the green.
We got a moment of luck. We got a rubber the green. We got a moment of luck. Went our way. And we actually took the opportunity and finished it rather than missing it. And that's the only difference, because you think back to games where Tyler Roberts has been through on goal and he's scuffed it wide, chipped it wide. We've had opportunities. We've had... luck's gone against us a lot of the time. This on Monday, essentially what happened was we had a moment of luck. We finished the chance. And that was the big difference. They had a moment of luck in the first half with Ivu.
And was that Buchanan's clearance?
Buchanan came in with an absolute
real clearance.
Fantastic challenge. Yeah. And I mean, that could have completely flipped the result. That could have, for me, just, I'm not sure if they've scored from that, if we come back from it. So
I don't know. I think that, I mean, I get the point you're making, but I'm not sure that we've seen, I mean, Miyoshi and Paik were incredible, I thought. I'm not sure we've seen that under Venus. I think you know, talking about that, almost a positive mentality from players. I don't think I'm not sure we'd seen that in previous games.
But I think it's up to a point on the field. I think when they get to that final third, that's when it disappears.
Oh, final third. Yeah.
I don't think that it was there massively on Monday. And I don't think we
created a really good chance, didn't we? Bakuna fluffed his lines a little bit in the first half. We created a really, really good chance, and he was in a few times. And for what it's worth, I think he's so much more effective out on the left, where he can drift inside and create problems. And even, you know, against when he's out wide, he beats his man more often than not. But that's not what I'd say. So yeah, I know what you say. I do kind of agree with you a little bit, because we've watched those Venus games and we've talked about it. And we think, well, actually, a lot of it was quite good. A lot of, you know, there was a lot of stuff there. And then something goes against us, or there's a mistake. And I think that's probably the key word, isn't it? It's the luck and mistake. For once, there was no major mistakes, and the luck was on our side, and we weren't.
There was, but they didn't cost us.
Yes, yeah. Where better teams have put us to bed for them.
Yeah. But like I say, I'm not being Debbie Downer about it. I'm quite happy if we can luck two more wins for the rest of the season, and if we win. So essentially, what we've said before is that we've lost 0-0s. And I think the week on Monday, I think we won a 0-0. We won a 0-0, 1-0, in my opinion. I don't think that there's all that much in it from those games that we've lost 1-0. And I think if everyone walks away from the game at 0-0, I think everyone says, yeah, it's probably a fair result. So,
I'd
had a few too many beers. But
The decision making was just better, I think, on a whole. There's times where, you know, instead of Ruddy trying to force it out the back, he did get rid, even though it was frustrating, you know, they're pinging it into Stansfield, where he was never going to win it. But actually, they were picking and choosing their moments of when to clear it. And even Avu, you know, there was a couple of times where he almost did what he did a couple of weeks ago, but then he actually just hoofed it. And the crowd moaned. But I said, do you know what? I'd much rather him just leather it, spoon it out for a throw in 40 yards that way, then try and control it, roll it around, do a pirouette and lay it off to someone or whatever. And those are the things, that those little small marginal gains that mean you're not put under pressure went our way, or they made the right choices in those situations, which I think over a full 90 minutes adds up to a 1-0 win instead of a 1-0 loss.
Well, it's that difference in mentality as well, isn't it? We're in a WhatsApp group together, and we sort of talk about Blues all the time after games, during games. And the other week, the one lad put in there about it was about the throw in, the mistake from Ivy. And he said, just clear your lines. And the situation is that they've been in is that they've been told so many different things by different managers. Like Rooney would have told them, under no circumstances do you try and get rid of the ball. Play the ball, keep the ball. Because that whole mentality of playing out from the back means you keep the ball, you don't just clear it. And yeah, there's got to be an element, I think, of, right, I'm under too much pressure, get rid. But when you've had that drilled into you, it's like, right, okay, we're just going to play the ball around. I think that's what he did. It was Watford, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That cost us with a mistake.
I mean, six managers is a joke, isn't it? When we think about it, let's strip it back for a second. Six managers is an absolute joke for a season. It's unreal. And I think what the addition to that is, there's not a lot of senior pros, is there? So these are young lads learning the game. Avery himself, what is he, still 22, 21, 22? So he's new country, new league. Yeah, exactly. New country, new league, learning the game. And he's had to deal, you know, I don't even know if he speaks the language completely properly. Do you know what I mean? There's all these little things. And so he's had six different lots of messages. And it's going to come to fruition in a mistake on the field. And I think a lot of people, don't get me wrong, I think he probably is not worth signing in the summer. Is he? I don't know. He's the raw. I don't know. But I think you've got to remember the young, these things happen. And it's really come out on the pitch, because there's no, the most senior one is John Ruddy. And Pritchard. And John Ruddy can't really influence it that much from a goal. And then that's
Pritchard's
it.
Not playing.
Yeah, that's it. Those are your two senior pros. in that team. And Juki, bless him, he's in the distance, riding out to the sunset in his Juke.
Well, yeah. And Gardner, who will be on for 10 minutes as well.
You're talking about Juki there. It was actually really nice to see him walking around the pitch at the end of the game. I don't know if you saw this, but
he travelled down to QPR as well, didn't he?
Was he at QPR?
He was on the pitch. Yeah, he was on the. I'm sure he was on the pitch at QPR. I've seen a picture of him giving, Sanderson a little cuddle at full time. I'm sure I have.
Yeah. Well, he's what he's mentioned and has been mentioned in the past about him being a model pro. And essentially, he's the club captain. The no armband or anything. He's just that guy. The people love him. He's model professional. And that just being that type of guy where I think he's probably out for the season. And he still goes, supports his teammates, walks around the pitch. And what a guy. We love him or hate him. I don't know how anyone can hate him. I know that
build the statue, I'd say. Build the statue.
Yeah. Legend. But yeah, what a guy. I did want to give him a mention. And you actually mentioned about Ivy then, the criticism from some people. I don't feel like it's completely unfair. I think it with Ivy, I think... we've had probably one or two very good games from him, and the rest have been hit or miss, just very average.
He's raw is what he is. Poor. I think it's a raw or poor. Yeah, he's learning his trade still.
At this point though, where we're scrapping around at the bottom of the table, we're crying out, sake, we get Mark Roberts back in. And that, I never thought that I'd hear myself say it, but that letting Kevin Long go earlier in the season, you know, it's, I know why they did it. And it was you've done the right thing by us. We're going to do the right thing by you. We've got plenty of cover. All of a sudden now we haven't got any cover. And the alternative to dropping him, and I know why people want to drop him, the alternative to that is that you play Dramé or you play Buchanan, and you play... So if you play Buchanan centre-half, then you ended up playing two players out of position because you have to then cover the left-back position. If you move Dramé in there and play him as a centre-back, then you're playing one player out of position that he's not 100% comfortable with. What's the... Oh, I don't know what the best for the situation is.
I think you can't move Buchanan now. I think he's proved, and I've said this to the lads that I sit next to, he stops the cross so often. He wins his duel so often. And for a lad that isn't 6 foot plus, I think he's maybe just about 6 foot, I don't know, I've seen him win loads of headers as well. And I think the moment you move him out and you try and put a right footer on there, they've tried Laird, Drama, also, it never quite... We'd never look the same defensively anyway when he's not out on that left. And I think ever since the first game, he just wins his tackles, he wins his duels, and he's a solid platform. Even the best teams in the world, you know, they have even when you look at City, they have one marauding right back, but then the other back three, mind you, I can't really talk about it because Stones is all over the place, but as a general rule, the back three then solidify, don't they? So the extra man
joins. Yeah,
it's balmy. But so the best teams in the world have a solid back, sort of one of the fullbacks stay back and the other one pushes up into the midfield. That's the modern thing. And with us, I don't see why we couldn't adopt that if we're trying to use that style further forward. And Buchanan is just solid. I didn't see him give the ball away. He won his duels, made a massive game winning or drawing, whatever you want to call it, interception. And he laid the ball off to the more creative players when he had to. For me, you can't ask for much more, especially in our situation. So don't move him.
No.
So then Bielik proved that he's a defensive mid. We need him in the middle, so you can't drop him back. So you're right, it's Avu or Roberts.
No, it's not Roberts, because he's injured.
Well, yeah, there you go, it's Avu. Avu, yeah, exactly. And
or you bring Dramé in there. Do you bring Dramé in?
I think he reads the game really well. I do think he reads the game really well, but is he a centre-half? I don't think he's not, is he? He's not, you know, there's no two ways about it. I think maybe with a bit of training and whatever, but He's. I think they bought him in. I think big. I remember this. You might be. You told me this, that he was bought in with his sort of flexibility and his so how he can play everywhere in mind, but not a centre half. I don't think.
The fact that he can play left back, right back. I'm not sure that centre back's ever been mentioned.
He has started a game at centre back, hasn't he? Though he has started there. I'm sure.
Was that in a three?
Might have been in the three. I'm sure I've seen him blind up, but it might have been in the three. Yeah, you're right.
I can't remember. But I don't think he looks completely suited to it. But then, you know, with Ivu, I'm not sure that he's the best choice that we have there to put in. I think for the relegation battle, I think I might be tempted to play Dramay in there.
Would you blood one of the? Is it Fogarty? Is it the 21's captain?
Tommy Fogarty is out on loan at the moment.
Is he out on loan? Is he? There we go.
Doing well. Yeah. He might be able to be recalled, but I'm not sure.
Oh, he's only on a month. Is it a month loan?
Emergency loan, or no? What do they call it? I can't think what they call it, but youth loan.
Okay, gents, that's probably enough about centre backs. Let's go on to some 15-second opinions.
Let's do it.
15-second opinion.
Hi, lads. Massive win against Preston. Much needed. Not out of the woods yet. We still need 6 or 7 points, I'd guess. Really pleased with the way they battled and hung in there when Preston put us under a fair bit of pressure in that first half. Could have been a bit different, though, couldn't it? Could have been a different game. Emmanuel Oliver was just so easy to get in behind. You know, it took Lee Buchanan to make an excellent tackle in the box to stop us going in at half-time, a goal down. Don't want to be overly critical of Iwu, but he's just too casual. He's just too casual at the back for me, and we have to have a look at that. But apart from that, fair play to Gary Rowett and the lads. Lee Buchanan, absolutely outstanding again. Player of the season for me at the moment. But yeah, hopefully a couple more wins and we can rest easy. Keep right on.
Hi guys, Nick here. What a day, Monday. Absolutely fantastic day. I think everyone thoroughly enjoyed it. Absolutely brilliant. Well done, the owners. Win is a win. Massive confidence booster. As you know, our players have been down, so some really good displays on Monday compared to Friday. I'm sure Rowett learnt a lot from Friday's game. Moving on, you know, 2 points is massive, really, at this time of the season between us and the bottom three. So onwards and upwards, feel confident-ish. Robert football is doing what he does, keeps you safe. Hopefully it will do. Onwards and upwards, keep right on, boys.
Hi, guys, it's Alex Hurley. I didn't go the other day. Unfortunately, I can't get to games Saturday afternoon and bank holidays. I'll be there against Cardiff. Anyway, I'm not going to comment on the specifics of Saturday, but what I am going to say is I'm really pleased to hear that the atmosphere was so good and that we got behind the team and we backed them. I think there's been an awful lot of negativity from people on social media, even on the comments on here, about the players not being good enough. And that's obviously complete rubbish. If you look at the points per game under Eustace and Mowbray, we'd be up there in fifth or sixth place, I think it would be. Now, obviously, I'm not saying that the squad are that good, but they're clearly better than what we've been seeing, and they are good enough, these players. So I just want this negativity to stop. I think it's so obvious that if we get behind the players, even if they're playing badly, in fact, especially if they start badly and start slowly, if we sit there on our hands waiting for the first misplaced pass that we can slag somebody off, it transmits to the players. And it makes the opposition's job a hell of a lot easier. So don't do that. Get behind them, even when it's hard. In fact, especially when it's hard, especially when they're playing badly. And it will help them. They will be better, and it will be harder for the opposition. It's not difficult. So come on, let's get behind them the last couple of home games and into next season as well. Let's get St Andrews back to how it used to be.
Rowett Ball, UB40, Sunshine, Beers, number one iTunes. Very different outlook after Monday, boys. Definitely more confident than I was this time a few days ago, pre-Monday, if you like. Could do cloning either Buchanan and Bielik and getting either out for me, but obviously not possible. But yeah, them two were both superb on Monday, I thought. Bielik a colossus and Buchanan up there with player of the season, maybe even Bakuna for me. Free it on Saturday. Hopefully the get results go our way. And then into the last five with five winnable games, to be fair, if the application's there like it was Monday. Keep right on, boys.
All right, lads, Chris O'Brien here again. What a doubleheader that was. I must say, it was the best Blues performance in a while. It was not just gritty, but everybody came with bottle. And I mean, Bakuna, he was obviously superb, but he just put the extra bit in, didn't he? The extra bit, holding up the ball, winning those good free kicks. A bit like an old Clayton Donaldson used to do, you know. Big shouts out to Paik and Bielik and Lee Buchanan. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. Stansford must have ran about 10 miles because he put everything in, but refreshing, and obviously UB4 to top it off were just brilliant. The whole thing, actually, you know, the whole day was just refreshing as well. Really good feel factor. A couple of bands, obviously the Ansell's band, which was a Brummie band. Loads of street food. The car parks were packed. It was just brilliant. It was just a sea of blues, wasn't it? You know, long may continue. You know, looking forward to Leicester, actually. If we can nab some up there, happy days. But we just need a couple of wins now, I think, and we'll be all right, hopefully. But keep right on. All the best.
Evening, lads. Great to see the fans and the team all pulling in the same direction on Monday. A really, really important result. But it was against a Preston team that did next to nothing. We're not going to get other teams rolling over like that, and we need to put some good results together because we're not clear of it, and we're not going to be clear of it for a fair few weeks yet. I don't want it to leave it to the last game of the season. I really want to see the streets playing on the last game of the season as our staying up party. Let's see.
So a few points to pick up on there. The last one on there was probably going the sort of road that I was going with my thinking. The performance was improved. It was far from perfect, and it was against the poor Preston side.
I do think we need context, though, Chris, when you say Preston. Ed, sorry to jump in, but they're eighth and they're in touching distance of the playoffs. But this part of the season, you don't get there by accident.
No, absolutely right. That's why we're down the bottom end of the zone. you don't get there by accident. No, you are right, but they didn't offer an awful lot as a promotion chasing side.
Well, do you not credit us for that?
Preston, the Preston fan. The Preston fans I knew that were there, you know, were sort of just scathing of the performance, you know, essentially saying, you know, that's their playoff promotion, you know, push blown, basically. They were, you know, aside from the sort of two mistakes that led to the goal, I think they, you know, they were just hugely disappointed with that performance. But then, like you said, Chris, over the course of the season, they're there for a reason. They are a good team, and it's a great team. It's a good team having a bad day, and we were just able to capitalise on it.
But then, as Scott said, should we be benefited for making them play badly? And I think it was Chris O'Brien that said it. I can't believe he's on every week introducing himself and I've fucked his name up. Chris O'Brien. I think it might have been him that said it, that said that they were up for a battle, there was bite there, there was a fight, and that they all looked up for it. And do you know what? That's probably right. That's probably the difference. So I said, like, comparing the performance to the Venus one, and they probably had that bit of fight about them that they actually wanted to get something out of the game. And it's one of those things where it's that, like, going to Leicester now, can we improve on that? Can we go there, try and get something out of the game when it is, as was mentioned, a free hit? It's going to be...
It's an interesting game, Leicester. And it's an interesting game because they've picked up a couple of bad results, haven't they? They've got a draw, loss and a win in the last three. And I think they lost a game before that, I think, maybe, as well.
and their fans are starting to say that they want their owners out, and
it's incredible, really.
Getting their owners out, yeah, absolutely mental. But we'll come on to Leicester later. Let's just finish going through these 15-second opinions. Another one that was mentioned, and it was a really valid and really good point, and it was Alex Hurley. The atmosphere in the ground. Now, I mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago that the Pritchard chance where he fluffed up his lines trying to get the ball out, and it was the atmosphere that had been created from Mark Roberts messing up a couple of times, and that the supporters got straight on his back because of everything that had been going on before, and everyone was edgy. And it is that we do need to be patient. We do need to, as a fan base, when you get on players' backs, they're ultimately going to make more mistakes. They're going to be more likely to make mistakes. And we need to just say, do you know what? Okay, we're going to let you play football. Now, if you fuck up, yes, you deserve a good hiding or whatever from the stands, if it results in a goal. But when it's minor mistakes, ease off. Sorry, what I mean there is when you fuck up and it leads to a goal or it leads to something, otherwise get behind them, support them. I can understand, like, I can't say if you fuck up and it leads to a goal that you can just go, yeah, all right, we'll sit here and not say anything about it. You have to be annoyed. You have to show that, I think. But if it's just simple mistakes and we get away with them, you know, give them some leeway, get behind them, support them, lift their heads up.
So how much of that atmosphere that you were talking about there, do you think was down to just a significantly larger number of people in the ground, more people there, cheaper tickets, etc.?
I don't think the atmosphere was particularly. I thought the atmosphere was all right on Saturday. From
oh no, I thought it was. I think it was the best it's been in a long time.
Oh, but not just in terms of support. I don't think there was pressure put on players unnecessarily. I think that everyone was quite patient.
I mean that's a more positive atmosphere rather than like an atmosphere critical of players.
Yeah, I think that probably comes with the stepping in of Gary Rowett, though. There's that change of mindset again from people, and to an extent, maybe an acceptance that we're in some real trouble from supporters. Maybe
but
that
also
sort of makes
started
think,
well, Chris. I think they started well. And I think that when you have that first initial five minutes of knocking the ball about well, creating a couple of chances, Bakuna was getting at his man, beat his man two or three times in that opening 10 minutes. There's something for the crowd to sort of latch on to and think, do you know what, actually, we're giving these a bit of a go.
A bit of encouragement.
Let's back them.
Yeah.
And it is, I mean, look, there's been so many people that have given the arm waving a bit of stick, haven't there, the last few weeks. But it is
I did it the other day.
Yeah.
I did it the other day, and it
goes both ways.
I'm gonna say here. If you're not giving the supporters anything to get behind, you can't then turn around and wave your arms at them. But equally, if you are given something to get off your seat and get behind, then do it.
Yeah, no, I'm torn. I think it's a proper 50-50 relationship. I think sometimes, and you forget, we talked about it earlier, they are young lads and they want to do well. I don't think they like losing. There's a lot of people saying, you know, they're gutless and they're heartless. And I don't necessarily think that's strictly true. And I think they just want a little bit of help at times. And I'm not defending them because they've been poor. But for me, I've never questioned their commitment personally. It's the decision making for me that's always been wrong or poor, consistently poor.
You mentioned commitment there, and what struck me most on Monday was that towards the end of the game, and we've got Gary Gardner on, we've got Ivan Sonjic on, a few others, and Sonjic and Gardner look right up for the game. Now, these guys are the ones that, like, oh, they're out of contract, they probably don't care, da 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 da. And they were giving it everything. They were proper going for it. Gary Gardner at the end, I mean, it stood for itself on his reaction. So it's not a case of people not caring.
I think while we're calling names out, it's worth picking out Keshi Anderson there as well. He come on to do almost like he defended. He was right in front of me where I was sat where I was normally sat. He was right in front of me. He was defending the corner of that box with Ethan Lebb like his life depended on it. And I was really impressed because given the year he's had, it would have been very easy for him to let a cross in or to not be as dogged. And he was committed and he stood on his feet. He didn't give a foul away. So he impressed me as well with his short sort of defensive cameo.
He's a proper Gary Rowett player as well, in my opinion. I think he'd fit right in with a Gary Rowett team. And then talking of Gary Rowett, one of the 15-second opinions, the minute and 15-second opinions, mentioned Gary Rowett learning the team. And I agree from that probably that terrible first performance at Loftus Road, probably has learned a lot from it and then come into the Preston game and gone, do you know what, this is what I think I can get out of this team. Had a bit more time, only a short amount of time with them on the training pitch, but a little bit of time. And do you know what, I think he probably has learned a lot in that short amount of time. Now, this week is the big week because there's a big test at the end of it and it's a tough test.
I mean, yeah, I was impressed with him to start with Paik, to be honest, at home. I just didn't think he was going to be a Gary Rowett player. And to be fair to him, the bloke put himself about. He won the ball back 3 or 4 times. And he's not someone you expect to be doing that. And he was doing it. So maybe that's credit to Rowett as well. I was honestly expecting the worst. I thought he was going to stick 3 at the back again. I thought it was going to be the same performance as QPR. But he didn't. He's pivoted. He's twisted. He's sort of home game, big atmosphere, concert after, crowd will be up. Let's have a go. And yeah, so he's actually impressed me. I think we've said it offline in our group chat. We were all expecting absolute Brexit football, weren't we? It was that, out wide, lump it up, kick chunks out of players, that kind of thing. But we sort of said, well, he doesn't have the team to do that. He doesn't have the squad to do that. So how's he going to address it? And I think I personally, I said it earlier, I'll say it again. There were times when we've moved that ball around really well. Now, is that a fallout from the Mowbray era and good players just doing what good players do? Or as Rowett said to him, no, when we've got the ball, let's try and be brave on it. Let's try and do things and create things. The fact he's brought Miyoshi in, he's recognised that Tyler Roberts, didn't have a good game. And he's addressed, he's challenged it and he's addressed it. He's put Buchanan at left back where he's comfortable, build the base. And honestly, yeah, I've been really impressed with him. Now, for 1 second, the risk of rambling on too much, I don't think he's the right man for next year. He's the right man for Blues right now. And I've been really impressed with that. And we'll see how he goes on Saturday, where I think we might see a bit more of a traditional Gary Rowett style performance.
Now, UB40, we're in an after-match concert. And I was expecting, I'm not going to lie, I was expecting it to be a bit embarrassing, seeing the stage set up, thinking that we might get beaten. I could see about 200 people turning up for it. But good result. The sun came out and it was a fantastic party, wasn't it, Vegan?
I had a fantastic party after the game. Me and Daniel Ivory had a fantastic party eating as much sushi as we could. We didn't pay for it, sorry. We had things to do. Mainly eating sushi. But by all accounts, it looked great. It sounded great. What was your view like? Because you were facing straight on, weren't you? I would have been like,
no.
Where were you? Had you moved?
We sit behind the goal or stand behind the goal and say standing. When the full time whistle went, I went in search of beer and struggled to find beer. And I'm sure many people had exactly the same problem. And it's not a moan. They had to close all of the kiosks for, I can't remember what it was, like half an
15,
hour.
It's 15 minutes, something. I think. Yeah, licensing.
Was it 15 minutes? It felt like half an hour. And then by the time they'd opened them, there were queues everywhere. The outside bars were rammed. I didn't get a beer until some way in, other than drinking beers off mates that were passing by. Mouthful here and a mouthful there. That's probably how I got a bad belly, to be honest with you, rather than the Indian. But So we ended up right in front of the corporate seats. There was a nice little view. Jay Stansfield decided that he wanted to come up and walk past us to have a picture with me, which was nice of him. But like I said last week, I'm not a massive UB40 fan. There's some of the songs that I like. Obviously, Food for Thought. In fact, while we're talking about it. Keep right on with the royal blues. It was class.
It was, when it was. I think I said this before we started recording. It was a blues moment for me. It was one that I think back to, you know, Bruges and stuff like that, and West Ham and Villa. Those kind of iconic things when you think about blues and your favourite times and in the ground or following blues. It was just, like you said, the sun was shining. We'd won. There was a little bit of relief in the air, and that song just hit differently. The whole crowd just joined. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect everyone to join in. Well, and it was
a few people have said on that song, sorry to put in, a few people have said they didn't like that song before, and I'm like, no, I didn't like it. I thought it was like what they've just sang, like Keep Right On over the top of it. But then on Monday it was like, oh, it's fucking mint, it's the best song ever, and now it's number one on the iTunes chart and whatever else, and it's like, I can't stop playing it. I can't get it out of my head.
Massively.
It's mental.
What does it the kids say? It hit differently. That's what the kids say, isn't it? And it really did in the ground after a win. It was perfect. It was perfect. It was like it was written for us. Well, it was written for us, obviously. But the day, if you pardon the pun, it was just this wonderful moment, which could have been so bad. As you point out, it could have been awful. Imagine them doing that after being tonked 3-0 or something. It was. I've had it on repeat a couple of times today. Before I come on to get myself pumped up, I listened to it tonight. You know, I agree. I think when it first got, it was a little bit underwhelming. That, okay, they've just latched on to the Food for Thought thing. But then, it'll be iconic. I suspect we'll hear it at the ground before games, after games. And it's another...
Massively.
It's another line in the sand for us.
Sounds like I should have stayed then, basically.
Yeah, massively.
You definitely
massively
should have stayed. people that left genuinely missed out.
Yeah, I don't deny that.
It was great.
You missed out on a lot of sushi.
I don't eat sushi.
Just for the record, I did see UB40 in Moseley Park last summer. So, you know, it's nothing. It's not like a personal thing against UB40. I got to see him in Moseley. So.
You hate them.
I'm not confirming... or denying that I dislike them.
You are anti UB40.
I think it's just another another tick in it for blues being another iconic thing that we've got that makes us a genuine, proper, unique football club. I mean, you know, you could talk about.
So do you think we'll do it again? Do you think we'll
Yeah.
You think we'll see more acts in the, you know, before the end of the season or into next season?
Last game of the season if we're not getting relegated. It wouldn't surprise me if that stage is up.
Do you reckon they'll keep
it up?
Get
something on. ELO have been on tour.
Oh, could you imagine? That would be class, wouldn't it? Are Ocean Sunshine Colour Scene, are they Blue Noses? Or, I know they're from Birmingham, but are they actually Blue Noses, Ocean Colour Scene?
I don't know.
Because Hanjamaa City is a banger.
Not a fan of them either, sorry.
It's just the one song. It's just 100 Mile High City for me.
Just the one song. Just
that's all I want.
Is that the play the song from TFI Friday then go?
Something like that. Yeah.
I don't know.
Was that the riverboat song? Wasn't it? Yeah.
No, it's just that guitar riff. It used to be the intro for the Three Lions football game that came out in like 1998. And it was like my first ever game, and I loved it. And it's etched in. It's class. Listen to it if you don't.
You're old
know
enough
it.
To have watched TFI Friday, Chris.
I'm old enough to have watched it. I didn't.
And you
watch
remember
it.
The intro to TFI Friday?
He used to annoy the hell out of me, so I never watched it.
The intro music was the Riverboat song, I think.
Okay, I know the Riverboat song. I think.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Anyway, ELO, ELO,
ELO. Yeah, ELO.
Let's get ELO down there.
Okay, on to the weekend. Third game against Leicester this season. Either of you gents going?
I am. I didn't think I was, but I am. I found out the other day that I could go. Yesterday, Tuesday. Booked a ticket. I actually bought two tickets, but it wouldn't let me buy two tickets together. So I think it's probably quite close to selling out and just single tickets scattered around. Scotty, I asked you if you wanted to come. Have you bought a ticket?
You tried to tempt me. And that I, unfortunately, I've got a lot of points backed up with the other half. And I think we have not one, but two children's birthday parties this weekend, which I'm assured will finish by 3 o'clock. But there's no chance I'm making it to Leicester. I think that this the deal we have. Home games are a free pass, away games are a check-in. And this week I'm double booked. So I'll be home in time to be able to try and find it somewhere online. But I can't make it all the way up to Leicester.
Leicester. Now, I don't know an awful lot about Leicester at the moment, but we've spoken to Tom from... Where's he from?
Leicester.
Tom from Leicester Fan TV, or Leicester Fan TV Tom, as he's better known, but I assume he is from Leicester. But let's hear what he has to say.
Hi, Tom from Leicester Fan TV. What can I say about the season so far? You know, obviously at one point, 17 points clear of third place. I think we were all, you know, trying to work out in April where we were going to be winning the league and, you know, which game would be the clincher. But it hasn't worked out to be that way. And I think that's probably been the biggest frustration from Leicester fans over the January and February, March period of points we've dropped and that we've dropped so many points to now be third in the league and trying to work out if we're actually going to get up this season. My expectations, obviously, we need to be in the top two. It's going to be very tricky. Fair play to Ipswich and Leeds. Both been on fine run of forms. The last few games, if I'm honest, I've watched Leeds and probably thought they'd be the ones we've got to catch. But if I'm honest, Ipswich are the ones I think you've got to catch now. I think Leeds look quite poor in their last two games against Watford away. And at Hull at home, they were lucky towards them to get that penalty and obviously get the third goal. If we could finish second in the league, I'll take that now just to get back to the Premier League. What did Birmingham need to watch out for this weekend? Well, if we play anywhere near enough as good as we did against Norwich on Monday, Easter Monday, then, you know, what can you say? The likes of KDH, Mavididi, Vardy, you know, Fatui, you've seen them all at St Andrews when we came to your place and we had a mouth-watering game 3-2 in the end. All the players in this team on their day when they click, it's a joy to watch and hopefully... Not for you boys, but for us, that turned the corner. But for me, my crucial part at midfield is Winks and Ricardo. When them two tick, we tick as a club and we tick as a team really, really well. So definitely watch out for Ricardo and Winks in the middle of the park for us. Obviously, Birmingham's got some dangerous players as well. Obviously, on the cup game at the King Power, you boys should have probably 3-4-0 up at half-time before, you know, Leicester won the game in the second half. And the players that stood out for me in both, you know, the game at St Andrews and the game at the King Power in the FA Cup was Jordan James. What a class little player he's going to be. He's someone I said, if Leicester get promoted, we should be looking at him. Not just the ability, I was on the ball, but he's not as scared to get the work rate. He's tackling, he's all-round vision with the ball. And he's got an eye for getting a goal and assist. Looks a quality going. We all know Bakuna. Bakuna's been around long enough in the Championship and a bit in the Premier League. He's a top quality winger at the best of times. He's also one of the danger men. And someone I followed the path of his career, Jason Anfield. I like the look of him as well. Very much quick, gets in behind, wants the balls in behind the defence. What obviously you guys have seen from the FA Cup game, when you get it right and you put pressure on us, we make mistakes. So obviously those three players are the ones that I look out for going into the game on Saturday. And my prediction for the game, this is going to be a tricky game for us. Obviously, we all football fans all know about our financial state now. going into the Norwich game, we all knew we had to win that game. And I think we felt there was a bit of pressure when we went 1-0 down. And, you know, fair play, the crowd got behind the team and the lads came back to win it. I really don't know what to expect from this game now, because the atmosphere could be really, really toxic between the fans and a couple of the board members from seeing where we are. But I'm going to go with my head on this one and still feel Leicester will just have that too much quality against, you know, a Birmingham side fighting for their lives. So I'm going to go for a 2-1 Leicester win.
Thank you to Tom from Leicester Fan TV.
Who may or may not be from Leicester.
I think he is. It's interesting hearing the Leicester fans moaning about finances and moaning about their owners and the mismanagement and stuff, considering that they didn't seem to care before. Didn't care when they were spending money.
Premier League and an FA Cup kind of papers over the cracks a little bit, doesn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, yeah. It is what it is, isn't it? Like they're not happy now because things aren't going their way, but they were happy earlier in the season when they were 13 points clear and looking like they were going to walk the league.
Well, but I said to you before we come on, didn't I, that I think that if they don't win the league, I think they've had a bad year. When you just look at the squad, you look at the names and the money, I think if they don't win it, it's a poor year.
Yep. And with that in mind, the players that they have got in the squad, it's definitely going to be a very tough game. What I found really interesting was that he highlighted Jordan James as one of the key players for us. I mean, normally people will say Miyoshi, Dembele, Bakuna, who he did mention, Stansfield, who he mentioned. But to pick out Jordan James, I think, is an interesting one. Because he doesn't really get picked up as a key player or a danger man, but he's had a decent season, less so recently, not shining under Gary Rowett yet.
I think Chris at the Leicester FA Cup game at their place, he played particularly well, and I think I think as the Leicester fan said, you know, we should have been several up in that first half, and it's probably no part down to him, his influence.
Yeah, I mean, there was three or four or even five really good chances in that first half, wasn't there, in that one, and like you say, played a key part in it. So I guess, lads,
I was going to say, just before we move on quickly, I was going to do this. I was just looking at wondering why they picked him out. It's easy to pick him out on paper because he's scored more goals than both Iheanacho and Patson Daka. Jordan James, that is. So I think when you're looking at the squad from outside looking in...
How much is that combined value?
Oh, 60 mil, maybe. 65, 70 million worth of player. So add that to the value at the end of the season.
Yeah, we'll take that.
But yeah, swiftly move. Yeah, that's all I wanted to point out. I think that's probably why they picked up on him, actually. Outside looking in, I actually think he's had a great year as a general rule. In the last 10 games, he's been shifted out wide. But when he's in the middle, and I think for most of the game, it showed actually against Preston, just he can keep things ticking over, keep it tidy, be sure on the ball, and have a bit of extra work rate in there as well. Which I think is something that Rowett pointed out against QPR wasn't there down the middle. But anyway, sorry, I've cut you off. Predictions, right?
Predictions, absolutely. That's where we normally go. Go on then. Debut prediction.
After listening to Tom, wasn't it Tom the Leicester fan, saying it might be a toxic atmosphere, and I said earlier I think Rowett might revert to type a little bit with his performance, I'm going to let UB40, the feel-good factor, overrule my head here. It smells of a 1-0 Rowett away win, doesn't it? It just smells... They're pushed. They're going to see us coming into town thinking that's a 3-point win. We're going to do them over, on to the next. And I think you just don't know what a win at home atmosphere like Monday could do to that team. We proved the FA, we've mentioned the FA Cup game. We know that we can go there. If we put the chances away, we can do it. But I don't know. I fancy it a 1-0, a little cheeky little Gary Wright 1-0, Jordan James.
Vegan?
I don't want to come across less sort of slightly more pessimistic here, but I think if we can come away, I think if we can come away with a point, You know, that will be a positive that I'll do. I hope we can come away with at least a point.
Don't get me wrong, if you asked me to put money on it, I'd be, yeah, there's no way I'd go for a Blues win. But just to clarify.
All right, come on, Vegan.
Go for one all then.
One all.
One all.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm going to go 2-2, but I'm going to say it's going to be one of those 2-2s that feel, a draw that feels like a win. A late goal.
So it's them throwing it away rather than us throwing it away.
No, it's us saving it, not them throwing it away.
It's Blues in April. Anything can happen. Blues in April. Anything can happen.
Right. Safe journey to Leicester, to everyone who's travelling. And until next time, keep right on. Forever true.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.